Breathing quickly with excitement, Calvin continued to pin Charles Wallace with his stare. "You're like Ariel in the cloven pine, Charles, and I can let you out. Look at me, Charles. Come back to us." Again the shudder went through Charles Wallace. Calvin's intense voice hit at him. "Come back, Charles. Come back to us." Again Charles shuddered. And then it was as though an invisible hand had smacked against his chest and knocked him to the ground, and the stare with which Calvin held him was broken. Charles sat there on the floor of the corridor whimpering, not a small boy's sound, but a fearful animal noise. "Calvin," Meg turned on him, clasping her hands intensely, "try to get to father." Calvin shook his head. "Charles almost came out. I almost did it. He almost came back to us." "Try father," Meg said again. "How? Your cloven pine thing. Isn't father imprisoned in a cloven pine even more than Charles? Look at him in that column there. Get him out, Calvin." Calvin spoke in an exhausted way. "Meg, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get in. Meg, they're asking too much of us." "Mrs. Who's spectacles," Meg said suddenly. Mrs. Who had told her to use them only as a last resort, and surely that was now. She reached into her pocket, and the spectacles were there, cool and light and comforting. With trembling fingers, she pulled them out. "Give me those spectacles!" Charles Wallace's voice came in a harsh command, and he scrambled up off the floor and ran at her. She barely had time to snatch off her own glasses and put on Mrs. Who's. And as it was, one earpiece dropped down her cheek and they barely stayed on her nose. As Charles Wallace lunged at her, she flung herself against the transparent door and she was through it. She was in the cell with the imprisoning column that held her father. With trembling fingers, she straightened Mrs. Who's glasses and put her own in her pocket. "Give them to me," came Charles Wallace's menacing voice, and he was in the cell with her, with Calvin on the outside pounding frantically to get in. Meg kicked at Charles Wallace and ran at the column. She felt as though she were going through something dark and cold, but she was through. "Father," she cried, and she was in his arms. This was the moment for which she had been waiting, not only since Mrs. Witch whisked them off on their journeys, but during the long months and years before, when the letters had stopped coming, when people made remarks about Charles Wallace, when Mrs. Murray showed a rare flash of loneliness or grief. This was the moment that meant that now and forever, everything would be all right. As she pressed against her father, all was forgotten except joy. There was only the peace and comfort of leaning against him, the wonder of the protecting circle of his arms, the feeling of complete reassurance and safety that his presence always gave her. Her voice broke on a happy sob. "Oh, Father! Oh, Father!" "Meg!" he cried in glad surprise. "Meg, what are you doing here? Where's your mother? Where are the boys?" She looked out of the column, and there was Charles Wallace in the cell, an alien expression distorting his face. She turned back to her father. There was no more time for greeting, for joy, for explanations. "We have to go to Charles Wallace," she said, her words tense. "Quickly!" Her father's hands were moving gropingly over her face, and as she felt the touch of his strong, gentle fingers, she realized with a flooding of horror that she could see him, that she could see Charles in the cell and Calvin in the corridor, but her father could not see them, could not see her. She looked at him in panic, but his eyes were the same steady blue that she remembered. She moved her hand brusquely across his line of vision, but he did not blink. "Father," she cried, "Father, can't you see me?" His arms went around her again in a comforting, reassuring gesture. "No, Meg." "But, Father, I can see you." Her voice trailed off. Suddenly, she shoved Mrs. Who's glasses down her nose and peered over them, and immediately she was in complete and utter darkness. She snatched them off her face and thrust them at her father. "Here." His fingers closed about the spectacles. "Darling," he said, "I'm afraid your glasses won't help." "But they're Mrs. Who's. They aren't mine," she explained, not realizing that her words would sound like gibberish to him. Please try them, Father, please. She waited while she felt him fumbling in the dark. Can you see now? She asked. Can you see now, Father? Yes, he said. Yes. The wall is transparent now. How extraordinary. I could almost see the atoms rearranging. His voice had its old familiar sound of excitement and discovery. It was the way he sounded sometimes when he came home from his laboratory after a good day and began to tell his wife about his work. Then he cried out, Charles? Charles Wallace? And then, Meg, what's happened to him? What's wrong? That is Charles, isn't it? It has him, Father, she explained tensely. He's gone into it. Father, we have to help him.